So we've been looking at questions, big questions, questions that could make us doubt our faith, things that we look around at life and what we know about God, and we say, that just doesn't make sense. I can't make that fit with what I know to be true about God and then the reality of life. There's just, that doesn't make sense. Why do bad things happen? Questions like that. Today we're going to ask a question that has to do with, actually with this book, not a part of this book, the whole of this book, with the Bible, with God's Word. Okay, as soon as I hold this up, maybe some of you felt a twinge of guilt because you're like, oh, I didn't read my Bible this week. If you felt that, it's because we know we're supposed to read this, right? You think of Bible, church, God. We're supposed to read the Bible. If you've ever been around church for any amount of time, you know that we're supposed to read the Bible. We're supposed to carry it with us. It's supposed to be the thing that we go to. In fact, some people ask the question, have you been reading your Bible? That's one of my dad's favorite questions to ask, which is a great question, best question you could ask anybody ever. It's also a little bit disconcerting because it reminds you, didn't read my Bible. Should have read my Bible. We know we're supposed to read it. It's drilled in. Now, if you've been around church for a long time, from like little kid age, it's drilled into us from a very early age. I remember the games that we did at church that I was good at. I prided myself on being good at, you know, the find the passage game, where I was a champion. If I wasn't, I don't remember who was better than me. So I was a champion of it growing up. I flipped through. A Bible was sturdier pages than this one. I could flip through and I could find the passages so fast, even faster than my sister. She hated that part. I was good at it. We know we're supposed to read this book. We're supposed to be into it. When I was a kid, we actually traveled around the youth group that I was in. We traveled around occasionally for, what do you call those when you have set up people on two sides of the stage and you answer questions? Yeah, that. I should remember what it was called. I love Bible Bowl. And now we have, on our phones, we have the app, right? The Bible app. Maybe you don't have it. You should. It's good. The Bible app. And on that, not only does it remind us that we should be reading, you can set it up, get notifications, so it tells you should be reading your Bible, you should be reading your Bible. Other people, if you're friends with anybody on it, they can see what you're reading, and they can see when you finish a plan, if you highlighted anything, if you're reading, if you're not reading your Bible. We know we should read the Bible, but we don't read it as much as we know we should, do we? This isn't me preaching at you. This is us just talking about all of us, because we, maybe you're different, but I'm going to include me in the we, and you can exclude yourself if it's different for you. But I would guess, maybe some of you are like me, don't read it as much as I should. We know we should read it. We don't read it as much. If we were truthful, maybe, you know, we open up the Bible app and read the verse of the day, or we start a plan and then we leave it, or we read a little bit but then get bored and get distracted, and I got to do this thing and I got to do that other thing, and then days gone by, haven't read the Bible, not more than just like a paragraph or something, a little bit. We don't read it as much as we know we should. And so the question is, why? That's our question for today. Why don't I read the Bible as much as I should? Why is it hard to read the Bible? Why is it difficult sometimes? Why don't I want to read it? That could be a variation of that question. Why don't I want to read it more? Why is my hand like magnetically drawn to the remote control and not to this? Why do I not read the Bible as much as I know that I should? Why is it hard to read the Bible? And the answer is, and again, you might exclude yourself from the we in this answer. So this may not be you. I know that there's some of us, this may not be, and congratulations, and have grace with the rest of us as we talk about this today. The answer for some of us, maybe most of us, is this. We feel that it's kind of dry. I know if I reach for the remote, that's going to be interesting. If I reach for this, it's going to be like, I'm going to have to slodge through some stuff that not going to completely understand. I'm going to be kind of bored. I'm going to fall asleep halfway. I know that's the best way at night when I'm laying in bed and like want to fall asleep. I know, even though I love the Word of God, I love it, but I know that if I start reading the Bible, I'm going to fall asleep. And I don't, it would be horrible to read the Bible to fall asleep. I don't, but I know that it happens. We get tired, we get distracted when we read the Bible, and so what do? Well, we find ourselves, and again, maybe not you, maybe not all of us, some of the time, avoiding it. It's like you think about reading the Bible and then you say, I'll do that later. I'm definitely going to do it. Definitely. Before today's over, I'm definitely going to read the Bible, but just not right now. I got some other stuff I need to do. Or we start reading and then we get into it. It's like, oh, that reminds me, I need to. And then all of a sudden we realize, haven't read, I've got distracted, did something else. Or we finish reading. Ever done this? You finish reading and you close the Bible. And if someone were to come in that moment and say, what did you read? What did you just read the Bible, your finger is still in the middle. You haven't pulled your finger out of the middle where you're closing the Bible. Just finished reading it. What was that that you read? You have no idea. It's happened to me. So if it's happened to you, if not, you can feel better than the rest of us. Right? Isn't that a weird feeling? I know I read the Bible today. What was it? What did I read? So the Bible kind of feels dry. It's hard to read. It's hard to get into. It feels kind of boring sometimes. And if you say, no, that's not the way it is. It's not boring. It's not dry at all. Well, do you ever do that? Do you ever think about reading it and then say, I'm going to do it later? When you read, do you ever scroll, if you're reading in the Bible app, do you ever scroll down and look at the little bar on the side and be like, how much is left? You ever do that? Or look at the plan and say, how many? This is a 5-part plan today. Yesterday was 4. Do you ever notice how much is left? Do you ever get distracted when you're reading? Because that's not the kind of thing that we do. That's not the thing that happens to us when whatever we're doing is interesting. When you're interested in something, what do? You binge watch it. All of a sudden, the whole night's gone by, and it's like, when is the next season coming out? That was one night for 3 seasons of that show, and I hope they hurry up. That's what we do when we're interested in something. When we enjoy something, we binge it. We can tell, we remember the details. Remember that movie? My kids are great at this. I'm at an age where I'm not nearly as good at it as they are, but remember that movie we just saw, Dad, and the thing? I was like, yeah. But they could tell every little part of it. Why? Because when we enjoy something, we remember it. Even afterwards, we have to think, well, what was it? I'm about to read it. I'm about to watch that again. No, we know. When the comedian is done with his set, we're like, oh, just a little bit more. What's the thing that you say at the end of a really good concert? No one ever been to a really good concert? Am I showing how worldly I am? Christian concert, of course. One more song. That's what you chant at the end. We want more of the good stuff. We don't want it to end. Have you ever finished your Bible plan and been like, one more chapter? Maybe so. Congratulations. But when we say, nah, it's not really how I end the chapter, I'm like, whew, I'm done. I did something pretty good, didn't I? Huh? Pretty proud of myself. You know, when you do that invisible pat on the back because you read the Bible, it's like it was difficult. Normally wouldn't do it, but I did it. Other people wouldn't do it. It's like you feel good, like when you get up in the middle of the night and wash all the dirty dishes so that when your family gets up in the morning, everything's clean. You feel like you did, you accomplished a difficult task that most other people wouldn't do. It's not the kind of thing that we feel. That's not how we feel when we do something that we like doing. That's my point. When you go on vacation, you don't say, oh, I sacrificed and then I finally went to the Bahamas. You don't say that. It was a struggle. It was a sacrifice. I made it through, though, and I went to the mall and I bought more clothes. You go to the mall to buy clothes. Wherever you go to buy clothes, I went to Amazon and bought some new clothes. That's not what we do. We don't think we're a better person when we do stuff that we like doing, but we kind of feel like we're a little better, at least than the other people who didn't read their Bible, when we've read our Bible. And that's such an irony, right? There's a huge irony in that because we're bored by this. We find this dry and not compelling and the thing we have to make ourselves do. But think about what it is. What is this? It's the Word of God. God spoke this out. He breathed it out. Look at 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting 15. We're going to drop in the middle of a long Pauline run-on sentence. Look at what he says, verse 15. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out. Growing up, the word that was translated in the version that I use was God breathed. I love this. It's breathed out by God, breathed out by God. This is it's like God expelled the air from his lungs and this came out. What do you do when you speak? Breath, wind comes out of you, right? Air comes out of you, and then there are words that come out of you. And this is what he's saying. God, these are God's words. God spoke, and these words came out of him. This is breathed out by God. This is the God of the universe. That's what's ironic about me finding this boring and kind of dry, and I just can't get into it, and I have to make myself do read this. It's the God of the universe, the one who made everything, the most incredible being, breathed out, spoke these words. And when he did, and when I read them, he speaks to me. That's incredible. That makes me having to struggle to read this just the most ridiculous thing in the world. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. Go back and look at that. These sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. They're what make you be able to know God and become God's child. They transform you. And that all scripture is breathed out by God, verse 16, and profitable. So it's profitable. You get something from it, even more arguably than what you get from binge watching a season of your favorite show. It's profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Those are words that have to do with people being changed as they read this, and not just me being changed, but then when you read this, it becomes a tool in your hands that you can use, that God can use through you to change other people. This is that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. God changes us and equips us and makes us who he wants us to be. He speaks to us when we read this book. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to come back to that chapter, so just if you want to keep a little pinky there, that would work. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. He's talking about the armor of God. Look at just one phrase at the end of the end of verse 17. And take, that's from the first part of the verse, right? Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is what the Holy Spirit uses to cut inside of us to battle against the evil in us and in the world. This is what he uses. This is his weapon of choice. This is what the Holy Spirit uses to transform and to change people. This is the sword of the Spirit. God speaks to us when we read it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. It's one of the most beautiful verses because it gives deep meaning to you and I grabbing this book and opening it and reading it. Look at what it says, verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12 of Hebrews. For the word of God, look at this, it's living and active. Living and active. If I said this is living and active, what would you think? You would imagine something moving, right? Something that I couldn't control, contain my hands on. You would think you're holding on to something that's alive. That's what it's saying this is. It's living and active. So God actively interacts with us when we read his word. He spoke when it was inspired, when it was written, and he speaks to us as we read it. The word of God is living and active. It's not changing. It has one meaning. God had meant what he said when he said it, but he interacts with us as we read it. Does it sharper than any two-edged sword? So then it's talking about this. Interesting that it would use the metaphor of a sword, sword of the Spirit. This is sharper than any two-edged sword. Look at what it talks about it doing. We read this. I don't know if I read this. I just go over it. It's talking about God cutting inside of me, digging inside of you with a sword, like a surgeon who doesn't just, you know, make the two little holes and stick a camera in and a little microscopic tweezers, but like cuts you open, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. He gets inside of us when we read this, of joints, of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He gets inside and he discerns what we're thinking and what we actually want and desire. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God does surgery inside of us when we read this. He opens us up. He exposes us for who we really are and what we really are. And he compares us with his will and he judges us so that we can be transformed, so that we can be changed. God speaks to us when we read his word. That's incredible. That's incredible. And that's why reading this is so important, because it's the biggest indicator of how I'm doing in my relationship with God and how I'm going to be doing. This dawned on me early in ministry that one of the most important questions to ask is the question my dad would always ask people: "Are you reading your Bible?" Because I started seeing patterns emerge as I would ask people that just in passing at church. "Hey, how you doing? Been reading your Bible? All right, read your Bible. I should read my Bible too. Okay, let's read our Bibles together." Asking that question, I saw patterns start to emerge, and the more when people would consistently say, "No, not reading my Bible. I should. I know I should. Not doing it though." You see patterns emerge. You see, oh, that's why you're kind of cold spiritually. And then, you know, a couple months later when they're just kind of faded, that's why it's what keeps us close to God. It's what lets us hear God's voice. He speaks to us when we read it. And it's difficult to do, which is so odd. So if God's talking to us when we read this, why in the world does it feel dry and boring when we read it? Why is that a common experience for many of us, that it's like, it's hard for me to read the Bible? How many would say that? We all raise our hands. Why? Why would that be? Why would that? It's because, look back at Ephesians. It's because of the spiritual war that's going all around us. We live in a spiritual world surrounded by spiritual beings that make war against us. And therein, we find the explanation for why, when we reach for the Bible, something in us goes, not right now. And then we open and we go, And then as we read, just like blank, don't remember any of it. We're in the middle of a spiritual war. Look at what Paul says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." We have an enemy, and he actively battles against us, and his goal is to separate us as far from God as possible, and he doesn't want us to listen to our Father. That's why it's difficult to read this book. He will do anything to separate us from God. He tries to take the most intimate of communication between a father and his child and make that be dull and boring and empty and something that we just can't hardly force ourselves to do. And in that whole spiritual battle, our flesh gets in the mix, and our flesh betrays us, because we know as we read this, God's talking to us and everything in me wants to be my own boss. And when I read this book, God is telling me what to do. And I would rather not anyone tell me what to do, much less the king of the universe who has the absolute authority to do that. So I kind of take sides with the enemy of my soul and I contribute to that. And I would really rather not read it. And so it just makes this perfect storm of, yeah, not right now, not today, not maybe later, definitely tonight before I go to bed. That's why we don't read the Bible. That's why when we read, it's kind of forced and it's without any hope of really receiving anything, because it's dry and boring. And so what's the solution to that problem? What's the solution to our problem? How do we somehow get over how dry and boring this can feel and actually get to a place where we can regularly listen to our Father? How do we do that? How do we battle? Like Paul says in Ephesians 6, how do we get this? Well, we have to fight. That's what you do in a war. You have to fight. And the way that we fight to be able to hear our Father and for this to be meaningful and deep and rich is we have to read it. We have to open it up. We have to look at Psalm 119, and I know I say that and you're like, oh, good grief, we're never going to get to the potluck. That's a long reading for it, just a little part of it. Psalm 119, look at verse 97. Look at what David says about his experience with this book. Look at how he talks about fighting and battling to read this book, how he lives with this. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. Doesn't just say I read in the morning, read the verse of the day this morning, and then just moved on. I thought about what I read throughout the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I read and I think about it. I hide your word in my heart. I don't just read and put it aside. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. See how he keeps going back to that? So he's obviously reading the Bible, and then he's thinking about it. He's meditating on it. He's thinking and he's reading and he's meditating. He's, okay, think about that part. We'll go back to that, to the rest of that little section. But what is he saying? How do we do that? How do we do what he's doing? How do we get to the point where it's sweet for us and it's like I would rather reach for this than for the remote control? How do we get to that place? It's by reading it. It's by making ourselves open it up and read, and not just read a little tiny bit. Okay, did that, got that done, got that other day. Reading sections of it, having a book that you're reading through, or a reading plan in your version that's Bible-based, where you're reading chapters of the Bible every day, sections of the Bible, not little tiny sections, chunks, a chapter, two chapters, three chapters in the morning, a couple of chapters at night, chunks of the Bible, and then persistently, day after day, doing that. And not just then at closing the Bible when you're done reading, but then say, okay, what's something that God said? What's a phrase that I can grab onto that I can memorize? And if you're good at memorizing, grab a bigger phrase. If you're bad at memorizing, grab a tiny phrase. I have to write my phrase down every day or else I forget it. Even then I forget it. Grab a phrase and then try to go back to that in your mind and think about, meditate on the Word of God throughout the day until you open it again in the evening or over lunch and you read some more of it. That's how we get over the Bible being dry and boring. It's by reading it. It's by digging into it. It's by letting God talk to us, because you know what happens when we do that? It opens up. It opens up like, you know, the flowers in the spring, little buds, and then all of a sudden they open. The Bible does that to us. When we dig into it and we read and we let God talk to us, it opens up. And then we're able to say things like, look, go back to Psalm 119. Look at verse 97. Look at, just grab some of the things David said. I love how I love your law. It makes me wiser. I love it. It's like there's a connection with my father when I read this book, and then I hear his voice, and he guides me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the age. I hold back my feet from evil ways. I do not turn aside from your rules. He's saying you're guiding me. You're teaching me. I'm listening to your voice. It's meaningful, in other words. And I see its value in my life. I don't do it because I have to. I read it because I want to now. Why? Because I read it and then it opens up to me. Look at verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Look at verse 97. How I love your law. And then, how sweet are your words to my taste. That's incredible. It's an appreciation of it. It's something that's truly good. And how did he get to the point of experiencing it like that? By reading it, by thinking about it, by meditating on it. That's how it becomes rich and abundant, and it loses its boring, kind of dry, empty thing that we have, and it becomes the most richest thing that we do, the thing that we long for every day when we wake up. I can't wait to read the Bible. Before I go to bed, I got to listen to God, and I hope I don't fall asleep when I'm reading, because I want to hear my Father, because this is rich and this is life. And when my Father speaks, it's meaningful and it fills me. That's what happens when we battle to read and meditate on God's Word. So what should we do? Listen, if you're not a Christian, this whole thing is an invitation to become God's child, because when you're outside of God's family, this discussion of how God talks to his children and speaks to his children is an invitation for you to become his child, to enter into his family, to give yourself to Jesus, to repent, and be baptized, and that way accept him as your Savior and your Lord. And when you do that, you enter into his family. And then when you read this, it's not just the King of the universe speaking truth. It's your Father talking to your heart. And then you can have hope of being like David someday and saying, I read the word and it is sweet. It is beautiful. It's what I live for. It's how God truly talks to me. And in this community, when you say, I want that, I want to become God's child, tell someone and you can repent and be baptized. If you're a Christian, here's a question for you and I. What do you need to do? What do you need to do to read the Bible more? I know all of that to come down to that we could have started there, right? Simple application. But what can you do to read the Bible more? Do you need to grab YouVersion and find a plan, and not a plan that's heavy on the devotional side, you know, human speaking, not bad, nothing wrong with that, but a plan that's heavy on the Bible side? Or do you need to just open your Bible and choose a book, choose Ephesians or John? I'm just going to read this book through. When I get to the end, I'll read it again because I won't remember all of it. I'll read it two or three times, and then I'll move on to another book. Maybe your thing that you need to do to hear God more is as you're reading, because you already read, but it's I need to pick a phrase. I need to pick a verse. I need to say it a few times to memorize it. I need to meditate on that throughout the day so God continues to speak to me even after I close this book. Maybe for you, I read the Bible before I go to bed. I should start reading in the morning. Maybe for you, it's the opposite. Whatever it is, what do you need to do? What can you do to read the Bible more? Listen to your Father more. Because the more we do that, the more rich and abundant it becomes. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we come to you. We thank you. You are kind and loving and good. In spite of the fact that when we open your word and read, we sometimes find ourselves fighting against it and struggling and not feeling like anything's happening. And in spite of that, we thank you because when you've chosen to speak to us, you've chosen to continue speaking to us. And you let us hear your voice. You let us talk to you all the time. That's incredible. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray.